Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 641. Jesus, mighty God and Saviour, lead me forth by thy right hand, and be it my fixed endeavour to obey thy sweet command. Let me never at a trifling distance stand. 641. Together from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valour, and help them. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most merciful and gracious God, we need thee now to grant to us a breath of real prayer. Oh, we pray that our hearts may be drawn away from the things of time, the things of this world, and that our hearts and affections may be set on things above, where Christ sitteth. Oh, we would seek for grace to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. And oh, we pray that we may ever be as nothing before thee, and, O precious Jesus, the one thing that is needful. O Lord, we pray for the divine influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit in each part of our worship, that it may be to thy honour and to thy glory, and for the good and profit and edifying of our never-dying souls. Lord, how we need that heavenly teaching. One of old said, that I know not, teach thou me. Lord, we pray that we may be amongst those that are truly taught of the Lord. Oh, that we may know the quickening of thy spirit, that we may be lively souls among those living souls, Lord, that truly serve thee and seek thee. Oh, may it please thee to rend the heavens this night and to come down, that we may be favoured to know and to feel thy sweet presence, both in our hearts and within these walls, and that we may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And oh, we would come with that desire of those of old when they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. And oh, Lord, may all distracting thoughts and cares be removed from us. And may we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Oh, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. And, oh Lord, may thy word be blessed to our souls in that which we have read, Lord, and that which shall be preached if it's thy will, and that we may know the realities of the sacred hymns that we sing, and all those desires and longings within them may be the real desires and longings of our souls. But, O Lord, we come as a poor, needy sinner. We've nothing to bring of ourselves. One said, our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. But, O Lord, we would come pleading the precious name and precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus, that name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. O Lord, we would come confessing our many, many sins. And knowest, O Lord, the sins and iniquities of our hearts, our lives, our walk, our conversation, the sins of our most holy things. And oh, we would come, Lord, truly mourning and weeping and repenting of them, begging and pleading for mercy. And oh, Lord, how we need thee to wash us and cleanse us from them all. Oh, that we may be washed in that precious blood of Jesus, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. Oh, thou knowest, O Lord, how often we would come as the dear hymn writer, and he said, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. O Lord, thou knowest those that feel the need of that washing and that need of cleansing and the need of clothing, Lord. Oh, that we may be clothed in that glorious robe of righteousness, and that we may know the sweet peace of Calvary. One of old said, this glorious man thy peace shall be. And oh, that thou wouldst convey that sweet peace into our poor souls. And oh, that we may be given grace, Lord, to endure to the end, to hold on our way. We pray to be made steadfast and unmovable in the vital things of God. And oh, that thou wouldst help us, Lord, in all things to look to thee. May we be given, Lord, that eye of faith, and be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And oh, we pray that thou wilt help us, dear Lord, to lean hard upon thee. For Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, that we may be like the spouse of old, leaning upon our beloved. And may we know, dear Lord, more and more of thy preciousness, thy suitability, and that a precious Jesus may be the all and in all to us. Who help us to hold the things of time with a loose hand. And oh, that we may ever live to thee, to thy honour and thy glory. And oh, Lord, help us to follow hard after thee in the footsteps of the flock. And may it please thee to speak thy word to our souls this night. For thou hast said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And oh, that we might have that ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And may we be given grace, Lord, to be submissive to thy mind and to thy will. And be as one of old, and lie passive at thy dear feet, and know no will but thine. Who save us from our own will, but oh, give us that submission to thy will. We pray for thy dear people as they gather this evening. Oh, do come and suit thyself, dear Lord, to every sinner's case. May those that are brought low and in a low place be lifted, Lord, up out of it all. And oh, that thou wouldst raise our souls above the ground. And those, O Lord, that are tried and tempted, we pray that thou would appear for them in the trial, that they may be able to say with dear Job, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And we do pray for those, Lord, that truly seek thy face. May those real seekers be finders, for thou hast promised that they that seek shall find. And those, dear Lord, that and longing for thy appearing to set them free from the bondage of sin and Satan. Oh, that thou wouldst come and loose the prisoners and set thy people at liberty. For thou hast said, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. And O Lord, do call by grace any that as yet know thee not. May there be a awakening of many sinners round even this sanctuary, throughout this village, yet to come and seek thy face. And oh, we pray that thou wilt bring back prodigals, Lord, many that were brought up through this sanctuary and many other of our causes, Lord. Where are they today? Oh, may there be yet a blessed return. For thou hast promised the ransom of the Lord shall return and shall come to Zion. And oh, may we yet see, Lord, as on the day of Pentecost, many brought to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Nor do open the eyes of the blind, unstop the deaf ears. And any that may be rebelling against thee, oh, do break down the hard clods of the heart, Lord. And how we need thee to break down the hard clods within us each personally. And make us, Lord, tender, real seekers of the God of heaven. We pray for the dear children, that thou wilt bless them, Lord, in early days. And may they know those true spiritual blessings in heavenly places. May the truths taught them in the Sabbath school abide in their hearts, Lord, and be as bread cast upon the waters, unseen after many days. And oh, may it please thee to raise up a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Who keep them, Lord, from the dangers there are in this sin-cursed earth, the many snares of sin and of Satan. Lord, may they be kept by thy power and keep them from just a carnal religion, Lord, and may they be truly taught of thee and have an aching void which this world can never fill. And O Lord, we pray for the dear young people thou wilt cause them to look to thee for all they need, to cast their cares upon thee. And oh, may there be among them those raised up that shall be useful in Zion in their day and generation, raised up to be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. And, O Lord, may there be many established in the truth, that they may be steadfast and unmovable in the vital things of God. We pray for thee to add to the church's precious souls. Oh, do come and work here. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done. We would be, as the dear hymn writer, truly thankful for present, and yet ask for more. And oh, we pray that this may be the sound of an abundance of rain. Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. And oh, it may please thee yet to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and that there may be those made willing to take up their cross, to follow thee, to show the world whom they love and whom they serve, both here and in our own flock and throughout Zion, and that we may yet see the wonders God alone can do. Be with our dear friend and sister as she hopes to go through the waters shortly, Lord. We pray thou wilt keep Satan at bay from her, and that thou wilt abundantly bless her with peace within and thy sweet presence. Lord, do take away all the fears. We pray that thou wilt help thy dear servants and grant them that gracious anointing and liberty in the preaching of the word. May thy word through them have free course and be glorified. O Lord, do remember the nation, we pray, in all its wickedness and sin. Oh, do turn us from our queen downwards to thee, and to forsake the evil and wickedness that abounds. May we have right laws upon our statute book, and all those laws that are so contrary to thy word be removed, Lord, the power's thine. To raise up godly, gracious leaders, as thou didst Joseph, Lord, in Egypt, as thou didst Daniel in his day. And we pray that thou wilt so work once again in this our beloved land, and bring us, Lord, free from the shackles of Europe, the powers of Rome, the many things that are contrary to thee and to thy word. And oh, may this nation once again be a land that fears thy holy name. And may thy fear and grace be in our Queen and the royal family, that they may set a right example in the land. And may we still be favoured with the privileges we are favoured with, and thy holy word and holy day, and in being able to still gather in thy courts, none daring lawfully to make us afraid. Do remember all thy persecuted ones throughout the earth, many under fear, Lord, for their lives because of terrorism and war and conflict. Many enemies of the truth, Lord, seem to so attack thy people. We pray for thee to appear. Oh, do make bare thine arm. We would praise thee for all thy great mercy. We would not let them lie forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises done. We thank thee for this beautiful day and the sunshine, the showers, thy favours in providence, the great favours of grace, unworthy as we are, Lord. And we would say from our heart, we're dear Jacob of old, when he said, I am not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercy or of his truth. We pray for a heart to truly praise thy name for thy goodness and mercy to us. And do be with us now and anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for that gracious help, and that thou wilt touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. Help us to sing thy praises, Lord, from our hearts, and may we know the realities of what we sing. And do bless the dear deacons here, restore our dear brethren to health once again. And oh, may thy goodness pass before us each in the way. Forgive what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail, so we would seek to fall into thy kind arms. Sink or swim, we ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 622. O fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever be thy aid, and put the hosts of hell to flight. 622.
Thank you. seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, and verse 8. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, and the 8th verse. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, and verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. What a mercy it is, the Lord was pleased to speak to dear Joshua here through the lips of Moses, the true servant of God. You know, Moses was the messenger, but the message came from the Lord himself. And how suited this message was to dear Joshua. It was just what he needed. And we looked at this morning how wonderfully the Lord had prepared him for this great work that was laid upon him. But I want us help this evening to look a little at this beautiful word the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. I don't know what you may be in, child of God, this evening, but there are those things that are before us each. And we do need, don't we, the Lord to go before us in them. How many times do we have to say, as the hymn writer did, leave me not to walk alone? We mentioned in conclusion this morning how the Lord wonderfully went before the children of Israel at the Red Sea and dividing the sea before them. And then we just noted how the Lord went before dear Daniel as he was to be cast into the den of lions. And the Lord went before and shut the lions' mouths. And of course, there are some beautiful further illustrations of this in the Holy Word of God. We think first of all of dear Joseph when he was to go down into Egypt. You know, it wasn't by chance that he was sold down there, was it? The Lord was to go before and prepare the way for him and for all the family of Father Israel in that time of great famine. The Lord went before him and before them, in spite of all their wickedness and sin and how they had rebelled against God. But the Lord went before. And then we think of the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. You look how wonderfully the Lord went before them, didn't he? It wasn't by chance they should enter into that fiery furnace. The Lord was to prove the wonders that he alone could do for them and in them. And we have the blessed record of it all these years later. And how the Lord went before them. And the fire couldn't destroy them in any way, could it? Oh no. Because the Lord had gone before. And not only had he gone before them, but he was with them in it. As our text goes on to say, he will be with thee. You know, the king saw, didn't he? As he looked at them in that fiery furnace, he said, were there not three cast into the fiery furnace? Behold, there is four. One like unto the Son of God. And you think how the Lord went before, and those flames couldn't touch them. And when they were brought out, they came out without even the smell of smoke upon them. Such was the blessedness of the deliverance. And then we think of what the Saviour said concerning his sheep, that when he goeth before them in John chapter 10, and how he does go before his dear sheep. So he knows exactly what you've got to pass through, child of God, what I have in the journey. He it is that doth go before thee. And you think in you young ones, in your studies, at school, or maybe college or university, do you desire the Lord to go before you? Unfold his will, his way, his purposes. And then in the matters of providence. I often think, you know, of a young man, and I say it to the honour and glory of God, He had been out of work for some season, made redundant because the firm was in difficulties, and the exercise and great concern about the future with the little ones, the children, and a house and mortgage, and he prayed the Lord to go before him. And the Lord opened a door. And he went for that interview, you know. And we're expecting many severe and great questions to be asked of him. But when he got there, the man that interviewed him, who was the director of the company, he said to him, I have done all the homework on you and your case. He said, so you needn't fear. This interview will just be simple. And the job is yours. Before hardly he'd entered into that office. And he said, you know, to me, he said, I looked at it all, and he said, I could see how the Lord had gone before, taking away all his fears, removing all the stumbling blocks, the hindrances. You know, the devil will put all the hindrances he can find in the way of the child of God, whether it's in a matter of providence or in the things of grace. But the Lord can remove them all, he can, as he goes before you. And you think, and then of course there are many other illustrations in the Word of God. We think particularly of dear Jonah. You look how the Lord had gone before and prepared that great fish to swallow up Jonah. He wasn't there in that sea by chance. He was there because the Lord had gone before him, prepared the fish to swallow up Jonah. when the Lord goes before you, poor soul, you'll stand amazed at the wonders he alone can do. I love that word, the wonders. We sing of it, don't we? God alone can do. He can do those things, child of God, for you tonight that are impossible with you, impossible with me, and impossible with man. The wonders God alone can do. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Well, let me just pause a moment. This was a excuse me. This was a personal word given by the Lord for Joshua. Thee. And when we think of it this evening, it's a personal word, maybe for some poor soul here tonight. This is what the Lord will do. And you think of the great weight, as we looked at this morning, that was upon the dear man, dear Joshua. And the Lord was here assuring him that he would go before him, step by step. And then, of course, we think and we realise that this service is one more and it is one less. We're each that much nearer eternity since we stood here this morning. And do we not need the Lord to go before us and prepare us for his will and for the great day of death? We did hint this morning at that beautiful word in John 14 where the dear Saviour said to the troubled disciples, didn't he? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And he goes on to speak, doesn't he? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He goes before you and has gone before his dear people into glory. Who he has. I would say it lovingly and reverently to welcome the dear child of God that he suffered, bled and died for into eternal bliss in heaven. Prepared for you. But think of this word, before thee. And it's something you can face Satan with. He will say, oh, but that was spoken to Joshua. He's not for you. You know, this word is a living word. This is what I love so about the word of God. It's not just print on the page. It's a living word given by a living God to living sinners before thee. And it may be you have something before you in the coming week, or and I hadn't thought of this, but you know, as we have Canada before us in a few days' time, I long for the Lord to fulfill this regarding me going. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. But then he says this, he will be with thee. He will be with thee. In other words, poor soul, you won't have to go alone. You won't have to walk alone. Before I just look at that, there's one further thing that comes to one's mind, and that is, In after the resurrection, the dear Redeemer, he revealed himself to Mary Magdalene, and the commission was given to her to tell the disciples that he had risen and he'd gone before them into Galilee. There shall ye see him. He'd gone before them into Galilee, prepared the way, a risen Saviour, where he was to make himself known to them. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee. He will be with thee. You won't have to walk alone, poor soul. He will be with thee. We need the Lord to be with us in several ways, don't we? First way, we need the Lord to be with us to keep us. You see, with Joshua, he needed the Lord to keep him in several ways. He needed the Lord to keep him in a right spirit as leading these children of Israel. He needed the Lord to be with him and keep him humble and keep him tender. He needed the Lord to be with him to help him in the great work and burden that was upon him. Look in your heart and mine. Do we not need those things? And then we need the Lord to be with us, to guide us in all the steps of the journey. We've been singing of it, haven't we? It's a sacred hymn that we sung, didn't we, just at the commencement. And these hymns speak so much the reality and the feelings of the real child of God. So many of those sweet couplets in the hymns describe exactly how you feel and what you desire and what you long for. And think of what we sung this morning, that beautiful hymn, when Jesus with his mighty love visits my troubled breast. My doubts subside, my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. He will be with thee. He'll be with thee to hold you up, poor soul, when you feel to be sinking. You think of the disciples when they were in the ship, the Saviour with them, asleep in the hinder part of the ship with his head upon a pillar. And there they were, fearing they were going to drown, fearing they were going to sink. And what did he do? He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the sea, and there was a great calm. He held them up when they feared they were going to sink. He was with them. And he'll be with you, poor soul, in times of adversity. You know, if you look through the life of dear Joshua, there were many trials he had to walk through, many difficulties, many distressing hours, but the Lord was with him in it. And when he's with you in it, child of God, he'll make that bitter sweet. Oh, he will. The hymn writer said, didn't he? Though our cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret that sweetens all. And what's that something secret? It's the dear Redeemer with you in it. It sweetens it all. Oh, it does. You think of dear Job and all the trial the dear man had to walk through. But he didn't go through it alone, you know. I know there were times, and there will be with you and with me, if we're the children of God, where we fear because the Lord seems to withdraw himself and we cannot feel his presence as we would. But he'll be with you at all times, poor soul. He was with Job. He didn't leave him to sink into despair, did he? We know he went down into the depths, into the valleys and into the Job's ditch. But you know the Lord was with him in it, and he was to bring him up out of it, wasn't he? Oh, he was, in his time. What does he say? He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What a mercy if we got a little gold to come forth with, isn't it? He will be with thee. And he'll be with you, poor soul, when everything seems to be against you. Oh, he will. There'll be times where you'll feel everything. Think of Jacob, when he said, all these things are against me. But they weren't really, you know. But when you look at it and what he was in at the time, it seemed as though everything was against him, didn't it? Joseph is not, Simeon is not. Now they come to take away Benjamin. It seemed to be that the troubles were stacking up against him. But the Lord was with him in it, you know. And he was to bring him through. Oh, he was. And as I've often mentioned, you know, you go into chapter 45, all the difference of dear old Jacob then, when he saw those wagons coming to him from Egypt to fetch him. He could truly say, it is enough. His poor soul was filled. Israel said, it is enough. The new man of grace could see the wonders that God alone was doing in it all. He will be with thee. When he says he will be with you, child of God, he'll fulfill this in every jot and tittle. That doesn't mean to say this word won't be tried from time to time. You may feel he's forsaken you completely. The poor soul, think of what we sung in that beautiful hymn, going back to 251 this morning. And oh, the feelings of the soul in it. When the Lord withdraws a little from you. He says, but ah, when these short visits end, though not quite left alone, I miss the presence of my friend like one whose comfort's gone. I to my own sad place return, my wretched state to feel. I tire and faint and mope and mourn and am but barren still. Do you know something of that? You know, really, what is here is really a wonderful proof the Lord is with you. Because the professor of religion, and I've had people say to me, the religious people, they say, oh, well, you've no need to fear, the Lord's with you all the time. We know doctrinally that is right. But there will be places you'll come into where you feel the Lord to withdraw. It's often because of our sin, because of our unbelief, because of our wanderings from the Lord, and he withdraws. So we cannot feel his sweet presence with us as we have done in days past. We have to say with the hymn writer, don't we, on another occasion, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul's refreshing view of Jesus and his word? But you will come to this. And this will be your prayer. It's a real experience. What I mean is this. The professor of religion says, oh, but the Lord's with you all times. Well, we know, as I've said, that doctrinally that is right. But when we come into places like Job did, like dear old Jacob did, and we tire and faint and mope and mourn and am but barren still, you know, that's a wonderful proof that you got a real religion, because you'll know both sides of it. You know when he comes and you know when he withdraws, where the professor of religion doesn't know anything of the reality of that at all. It's very solemn, isn't it, really? And yet very blessed to the child of God who experiences it. And what will be your prayer? More frequent let thy visits be, or let them longer last. I can do nothing without thee. Make haste, O God, make haste. And when he appears, you see, you will know then the reality of this word. He will be with thee. He will be with thee. Thy troubles to bless and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. He will be with thee, and he'll be with thee, child of God, to bring you safely through. He was to bring Moses safely through, wasn't he? To glory at last. He was to be with thee, Joshua, to bring him through safely at last, to crown him his journey's end. He will be with them. Then he says, and much could further be said upon that, you see, how vital the presence of the Lord is to be with us. I've mentioned here many times over the years those beautiful promises, and really that won't hurt it mentioned again, but we think of what the Lord said to Moses in his early days in leading the children of Israel. When the Lord laid it upon him, what did the Lord say to him? Certainly I will be with thee. That's what the Lord said to him. Certainly I will be with them. I remember a dear man used to take me many miles to preach, you know, over the years. And I remember preaching from that at Edmonton one Sunday evening. Certainly I will be with them. And you know, the dear man was so full on the way home of the blessing. The Lord sweetly showed him he would be with him. Certainly I will be with him. And through that, after some months, he was constrained to join the church, you know. And I shall never forget how he spoke of that evening in Edmonton Chapel. The Lord lifted him right out of all the sin that weighed him down, all the sorrow, all the distress. Certainly I will be with thee. But then you think of Moses later on. He needed the confirmation of that. You know, if you've got something that's real, an exercise or a concern that's of God, you'll need it confirmed and confirmed to you, won't you? And what did the Lord do to dear Moses? He confirmed it in Exodus 33 beautifully. And he gave him that sacred promise. And may the Lord speak it to each of our souls this evening. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And you know, there was everything in that for dear Moses. So as Joshua looks back through the life of Moses, and we think of this beautiful promise in the text, Where the Lord speaking, he will be with them. The same God that had blessed Moses with his presence was to bless Joshua with it as the mantle fell. He will not fail thee. There's no doubt, and you may feel it tonight, and I feel it continually, that we fail. We're poor sinners. We fail in many ways. But the wonderful thing is the Lord will never fail his dear people. He wasn't a failed Joshua. He could look back through the life of Moses and how the Lord had not failed dear Moses, had he? All those years. The Lord didn't fail him. There were times where Moses felt he'd failed. And it may be you're tempted by Satan, oh, you failed in this, you failed in that, and failed in something else. And he'll remind you of all the failings. But there's one thing here that's very precious, and that is the Lord never fails his dear people. Oh no. And here he confirms it to dear Joshua. He will not fail thee. In times of great need, in times of affliction, in times of trouble, he will not fail thee. Oh no. He didn't fail those precious characters that I named earlier, did I? Where the Lord had gone before them. He didn't fail the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, did he? He didn't fail Jonah in spite of all his unbelief and his sin and his disobedience. He didn't fail dear Jonah in that sea, did he? He will not fail thee. You think of what you may be in tonight and the future, the unknown way, he will not fail. Now, they're not what I've said, they're what the Lord has said. His word will not return unto thee void, but it shall accomplish that which he please and shall prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. He will not fail. We find continually, don't we, in our hearts. We fail because we're sinners. We fail because of our carnal state. We are poor creatures of the earth, but not so with the Lord. He will not fail thee. Neither forsake thee. Now, I only hint at these things because of the time, but neither forsake thee. You may be tempted often, the Lord will forsake you. There's a beautiful word in the prophecy of Isaiah that comes to one's mind. And it's wonderfully fulfilled too in the Psalms, where the dear psalmist speaks that the needy shall not always be forsaken. Neither shall the expectation of the poor perish forever. And you think of needy sinners. The Lord will not forsake them. Oh no. Neither forsake them. You may often fear that he'll forsake you because of your sin. He'll forsake you because of your backwardness to prayer, and you forsake you because you seem such a poor Christian and seem to follow so far off. But he says here to dear Joshua, neither forsake thee. There were many that were to forsake him. And I want to just tarry a moment on this, because The hymn writer said, of friends and counsellors bereft. And some of us know what it is for those to forsake us. Well, Joshua, like Moses, had those in the wilderness that forsook him, and they turned to other gods, didn't they? They forsook the living God of Israel. And it may be sometimes there are those that will forsake you, poor soul. But the Lord has promised he will not forsake thee. And as we name that, it comes very searchingly to one's own heart. You think, when you're in that position where you feel that you're forsaken by friends and counsellors, it's painful to walk out. But you know, that's the path the Saviour trod. You know, in the depths of his sufferings, and I speak it with profound reverence, in the depths of his sufferings in the Garden of Gethsemane, what do we read? Those dear disciples that so loved him, they all forsook him and fled. Oh, they did. Oh, they did. So he can well sympathise with his dear children when they feel forsaken. But he has promised, neither forsake thee. And when he promises he will not forsake thee, poor soul, he will not. Why does he not forsake his dear people? They know what it is to feel forsaken, like David did. And the dear Redeemer, what did he say on Calvary? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? David in Psalm 22 said it, didn't he? Why hast thou forsaken me? He forsakes us because of our sin. See, in Calvary, you know, when Jesus uttered those words, it was because they were laid upon him. The whole sins of the whole Church of God. Sins past, sins present, sins to come. And a holy God could not look upon sin. That's why he forsook his beloved Son. But he wasn't to always feel forsaken, nor was David, was he? Oh no. For a small moment. In Isaiah we read this, have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. And the Lord wonderfully confirms this in the chapter, that first chapter, you can read it again at your leisure in Joshua, which we read this evening. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, the Lord says. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. And the Lord wonderfully confirmed it and confirmed it to him. Well, I'll leave that for your meditation. But then he goes further. Fear not, fear not. It's no doubt as Joshua looked at the unknown way and the pathway to lead these dear children of Israel, there were many fears. You may have come tonight, you've got many fears. We sung of it just now, didn't we? Poor, fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever give thee aid and put the house of hell to flight. And there are many fears you have. But here's the sweet antidote to those fears. Whatever those fears may be, the Lord speaks this, fear not. Why? Because everything is in his hand. We sing, don't we? all events at his command. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Fear not. And it may be some particular thing that you're in tonight, and many sermons could be preached just on those two words, fear not. The word of God is full of fear nots. Why? Because his dear people have so many fears. Fear not. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, the Lord says. And when he speaks of fear not, what'll be the effect of it? Well, if I know anything about it at all, it's this. It'll calm your poor troubled heart. And it'll remove the fears. Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship, spreads the sails to catch the breezes, sent to waft us through the deep to the regions where the mourners cease to weep. Fear not. You may say, oh, but I've got a roaring devil, I fear him, fear not. He's a conquered foe, poor soul. The Lord Jesus conquered him at Calvary. But while you're here, he will attack till you breathe your last breath. But he's a conquered foe. You have many fears in following the Lord. Many fears concerning the future. Many fears as the troubles arise, the afflictions abound. Oh, the fears. But you know, the Lord can quell all those fears in a moment. If he whispers such a word as this, fear not, fear not. It's all in my hand. It's just so the Lord comes down and he says, now, poor soul, it's all in my hand. Why are you fearful? The Lord Jesus rebuked the disciples when they feared, didn't they? Why those fears? Well, the Lord knew what they feared, didn't he? And he rebuked them. Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? We're often doubting, aren't we? We have many fears. But here's the sweet answer to it. It's not my word, it's not Moses' word, it was the Lord's word to Joshua. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Neither be dismayed. You may say, well, I've got so much to dismay me tonight. In the providential pathway, in my soul, when we think of the sad state of Zion, you look at the nation, much to dismay us, isn't it? The hymn writer said, when hosts of enemies rise up to fill us with dismay, the Lord our God will make to pass his goodness before us in the way. Neither be dismayed. You see, as I said at the commencement this morning, this is a comprehensive word. It covers everything that Joshua was to have to walk through in leading the children of Israel right the way through his life. All the great wars of the giants in the land of Canaan, the Lord was to overcome them all. Oh, he was. As the children of Israel were entering into Canaan, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites were still in the land, weren't they? There were these great giants and walled cities. If you look in the land of Canaan, you see, but they'd not got to fear them. The Lord was to overcome them, as we read this morning. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to all kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. The Lord was to work, you see. And I'll leave you with that tonight. He says, I will work, and who shall let it? And no man can hinder it when God works. He'll remove every hindrance. He did for Abraham's servant. When the servant said, didn't he, regarding taking Rebekah back to Isaac, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. The eunuch, when he came to the water, God had provided in the desert, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And the Lord removed all the hindrances. And he can do that today in your poor soul. Well, may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this word, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. It's a word, child of God, you can live on and you can die on.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £720, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Pickett next Lord's Day. And our friends at Fern Stanton hold their anniversary services on Saturday. Let us close with hymn 277. Now I see whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. 277.
Thank you.
come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides in our hearts. Do forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy dear people. Now do take us, dear Lord, into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.